word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we are in the doctrine of the importance of Bible doctrine, and we are on Roman numeral 14, and dealing with the categories of hearers of the word of God. Page 3 of your notes is where we will pick up our consideration, and we are in Mark chapter 4. All right, let's take the usual time. This is your responsibility under all the circumstances that believers and that we are currently facing at Maranatha Church. It is still your responsibility to be here, be under your right pastor, be in fellowship, and gap the information, and be informed and encouraged and warned and whatever else is communicated to you this day. Your responsibility is to be here and to carefully listen to the presentation of the spiritual information that we have for today. So let's take the usual time to prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the grace that enables us to assemble ourselves together and the fact that your mercies are renewed to us each and every day. We thank you that you are faithful to your word and that we have it within us to withstand and overcome the obstacles that are against us. We thank you that you are for those who are positive and informed and acclimated to the truth, whatever the numbers might be. Bless our time together in these things, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. The parable of the sower deals with the different categories of listeners to the Word of God and the occupational hazards. The four categories that Jesus lines out first begin with the negative or the unbeliever. The unbeliever is the seed, and the seed is the Word. The sower is the communicator, whoever he might be, Jesus, whoever a legitimate communicator of Bible doctrine is. This has to do with actual communication rather than just personal witnessing. The communicator of Bible doctrine is the sower. This is established in Jesus broke down this parable and dealt with the details of it and explained it to these disciples. The sower sows the word. In the storyline, the sower sows the seed. So seed and the word, we have a synonym for doctrine. Seeds have within them the capacity to produce whatever plant they are programmed to do so. So the seed is the word implanted. The soil is the volition of the individual, free will. Free will is the soil, and the soil then falls into four different categories. As way of review, the first category is the seed that falls alongside the field. Again, when a sower sows, he can't place all this. We're dealing with sowing of seed in Jesus' time, wheat, where they cast it and broadcast it, and there was a method to do it, and he walked and it overlapped, and some of it fell alongside the road or alongside the field where there was a road, a path, that was beaten down and hard pan as a result of trampling over it. That represents the seed that lays open on the ground, never germinates, and the birds come and eat it and take it away. This represents the unbeliever. Now, I know in parables, you know, they're designed to teach a doctrine. Obviously, in the world today, and always it's been, the majority of the human race remain in unbelief. Will not even believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's what we're up against in the world. This has been true throughout human history, that the vast majority of people are in a state of unbelief. We still have a responsibility to spread the gospel and communicate the gospel to all men. All right, the first is the unbeliever. There is no germination of the seed. The seed remains and winds up taken, and in its place, the unbeliever buys into all kinds of stuff that's out there that has been fomented by the enemy. It's just an endless amount of stuff in the world, false doctrine, false concepts that people latch themselves onto. Then the second category is the seed that falls on soil that has a lot of rocks in it. This represents the believer who hears the word, receives it with joy, and will not handle opposition, persecution. A lot fall by the wayside as a result of pressure. Pressures are brought to bear. We've seen it so many times that people cave in to people. And that is one of the things that in an inevitable part of living the Christian life that some people don't want to put up with, as that is the fact you're going to be persecuted if you live the Christian life and you align yourself with the truth. And for those who can't handle that or won't handle that, they fall away spiritually, accounting for why some fall away. They like it in the beginning, but they come up against opposition. This is brought out in verses 16 and 17. The category of cannot and will not, you can, but they won't, handle opposition from others, people, society at large. They don't like to be called names. They don't like to be mocked. They don't like any of the other forms that persecution can inevitably take, even extreme forms, which some of you have been the objects of as a result of your adherence to Bible doctrine around here, from people very close to you, like your father and mother or whoever. You were persecuted, and even if they were Christians, they persecuted you at a certain level, and you weathered that. So persecution is a part of the Christian way of life. If you don't want it, then, you know, walk. I'm not telling you to. I'm just saying. If you can't handle persecution from sources, oh, that person believes that, and you fold instead of stand up for it. They persecuted the prophets. They persecuted the Christians severely, and there are those that weathered that storm. So you got to weather it. It won't continue. They'll back off eventually. They'll go their way. You'll go through life, and you'll make it past it. Don't let them bother you. That's just their words and their actions. Actually, there's an attitude you can have when you're persecuted for a doctrine or for doctrine, and that is, great is your reward in heaven. You really are chalking up big SG3. Jesus was persecuted, and all the various forms that it took. So this is how you make yourself worthy as a believer for the high reward and the phase three distinction, when it's all brought out that you stood in there against the opposition. And again, a persecution can come from any source. It can come from your spouse. And you have got to be willing to handle that. I'm not saying leave them or anything like that. I'm just saying stand your ground. Let God work with them. There is no person or persons that you should ever put above your relationship with God through Bible doctrine. Ever. And I've said it many times. You have to count the cost as a Christian. What would I not give up? What would I be unwilling to not forsake if I had to, in the interest of the kingdom of God and the plan of God? If there's anything on your list, you better reevaluate that. There should be nothing on your list. Nothing I would sacrifice to stay where I need to be spiritually. Well, the next category was people, as I've said many times, leave doctrine, leave the straight and narrow, leave the truth. They're the ones who have things going on in their lives that are illustrated by weeds. Weeds. Weeds and good plants do not do well. The weeds flourish because weeds are what they are. But the area of the field where there is a heavy dose of weeds, they call it thorns here, translated. Again, some of this goes, this is a field, and there's along it are paths, and there's and areas that are rocky, and then there's areas where they didn't intend really for to harvest the wheat because it gets over into an area where all these weeds are. Now, in a typical garden, you go down the rows and you pull the weeds periodically. You get them out of there. But we're talking about a wheat field. So what knocks some people out? These are the ones who have heard the word. Now, the implication here is, and the one in before, the implication is, although this could happen at any time in someone's life, the implication is that this is an attack that comes early on. Persecution. Once you start getting the truth, unless you're such an isolated person that you have nobody you know or are related to, you may not be persecuted. But most people suffer a period of persecution when they get with doctrine to try to dislodge them from it. Maybe you didn't. Maybe all your family and people you knew basically were for you in this regard. But typically, it isn't the case. Typically, people come to doctrine and it reorganizes things. Who do I associate with now? I'm going to that church that teaches this way. And so persecutions arise. And in some societies, in some deals, it's severe. Among the Jews persecuted Christian Jews fanatically. In the New Testament era, and even till today, and there are Jewish Christians and believers in Jesus as the Messiah who are rising in Israel even before the rapture, and it's not a small number. And there are Christian Jews in the streets in Israel evangelizing, and their springboard chapter is Isaiah 53. The one you Jews who believe the Bible, the Old Testament, is Scripture. They can't argue from the New Testament at this point. They argue from the Old Testament and evangelize with Isaiah chapter 53. And they confront them on the streets. And they do it in a just a conversational way. They point out who could this be? It's got to be our Messiah. And there's other verses that tie into it too, because there's the timing of when he would appear. And that's in Daniel 9. And so they use this, God is using them, to make an awareness in Israel of their Messiah. You can see the information on it. It's kind of interesting and cool to see, and anticipating a prophetic fulfillment of a great number of Jews. And there are those, because this event starts before the rapture, and of course it gets really big after the rapture with Jews converting. And when they do, they are not, it's going to be live and let live. No way. People would think, you know, there's some people think, oh, I don't care what you believe. I got my life to live. I'm not interested in all that. But a lot of people, it isn't live and let live. They view it as a big threat and slap in the face. Of all the history and all the time the Jews have been unbelief promoting Judaism, a false religion because it doesn't get you even to salvation, they come under persecution. And I've had Jewish Christians tell me that they were blackballed from their whole family, treated as if they didn't exist. Not even, you know, I never known that kind of persecution from family. I've had some, you know, and I guess it was fairly minor, more like psychological, not financial, or we won't ever see you again, or things like that. It was more like, you know, you can do better with yourself. And if you keep up this, you're going to have psychological problems. And be in an institution, writing scripture verses on a wall. Well, that's what I got, okay? And you'll wind up with some little church somewhere where ladies will be bringing you vegetables in a bag. Well, I've had plenty of ladies bring me vegetables in a bag. I don't mind. See, that was all, it was all, I was missing the great American dream of getting a degree and making, you know, a big salary and, oh, that's our son. No, that was my persecution from family. I don't know what yours was, if you had any at all. But persecution does arise, and it can arise at any time. Most of mine, apart from that, most of my persecution have come from my own church members. Opposition. Sadly. I mean, that's sad. Most of the trouble I've ever gotten isn't from the cosmos out there. Cosmos is out there busy, you know, who won the game. The cosmos is just what they are. Caught up in their lives and so forth and so on. Most of mine, personally, to this date, has come from my own members. Okay. That's sad, and it shouldn't be that way, and they should be grateful for all the doctrine they've got, but that's the way it is. But so, expect to face a certain amount of persecution as a believer. Stick with the doctrine. Though who's ever trying to drag you down, that's the glory of being a positive believer, and you say you are, you will come here and you'll be under face-to-face teaching. I don't care what's going on. Because you didn't come here under the conditions, who's for me and everything. You came under circumstances. Maybe you went through some crisis in your life, a divorce, some big event, and you came here, hopefully, for the doctrine. And you come back for the same doctrine. And the current doctrine of the cosmology that has so many people so upset, it's because you didn't listen. Give it a chance. Pray about it. That's all I'm asking you to do. I didn't do anybody any wrong. I have taught you the truth. Once you latch onto it, you figure it out. Okay, now what's happening? Oh, okay, all this going on around me. Doctrine does challenge us, and but let's move to how I have lost so many church members over my history, not just recently. I still pray for them, but you know, if you're not going to get lined up with it, we don't need a toxic environment. We don't need a toxic environment. Go live a toxic environment somewhere else. How I have lost so many people is the inevitable one. And that is caught up in other things, other concerns, not putting things with God, letting the lust pattern take over in an area. I got to have this. I got to have my marriage broke up, and I got to have a spouse, and I got to have it right now. What? You're going right back into the same stupid approach. That isn't the divine approach. Well, I don't want to be alone. Oh, well, okay. I didn't think of that one. God forbid that anybody was alone. There's all through Scripture, there's examples of believers that were alone under a certain set of circumstances. Technically, you don't need whatever to be okay spiritually. You need God, and you need to be in His will, and you do not need to concern yourself with these things. These things, I would seriously consider you were really going to wait on the Lord. Any dummy can go out here and find a spouse. Any dummy, just about. Now, there's a few that couldn't. But any dummy can find a spouse, a female, you know, or a male. There are all kinds of girls out there looking for somebody they think has money. Get them out of the deal they're in. See? You see it all the time. Oh, yeah, look at that couple, Brenda. Yeah, she's all for that guy. He hardly can walk. You know, it's just crazy anymore. So you can go out and do all kinds of stupid stuff. You can get 5 credit cards and bury yourself in debt. That isn't God's will because you can do it. So what happens is people get caught up. The seed is sown among the weeds. I'll call them weeds, thorns here. These are the ones who've heard the word. They've had some tenure. That's verse 18. They're the ones who have heard the word. They've spent time in grade. They're not just newbies who, boy, this is great, and then family comes down on them or whatever, and their spouse threatens to leave them. You go to that church. That's happened around here. Well, those people did not have any root system. So the persecution came. That's the sun beating down on the plant that doesn't have a proper root system, and it dies. They're gone. But this one is competition for what's in the soil. And weeds, there's no contest with weeds. Weeds will just take over everything. They don't stand up to a regular positive plant. So this is the worries of the world. There's so much stuff people worry about. What we're going to eat, how we're going to make it. They're downsizing and I'm going to lose my job. And some of you have lost good jobs, let's say cosmically speaking at the time. Or you just walked away from them because they were just eating you up. There's jobs that they will take you to an early grave, working you day and night. Oh, you get a nice salary, but then, you know, you're 50 years old and you fall over with a heart attack. So if your job dries up, it dries up. Worries of the world. So many different things that they will not faith rest and put with God. He's not going to forsake you. He's going to take care of you. And forget about your pride. If you had to downsize suddenly because of circumstances and live in a smaller house and give up this and give up that, we don't. Who have any doctrine, think any less of you. We're not, the measure of you isn't, did your income go up this year? Or did it maintain the same? We're not interested in that. Worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. That's the other side of it. Oh, if I could get this and get this amount of money, I'll be happy. I'd be thrilled. It's deceit. You're deceived. And the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And again, this process isn't just suddenly probably. It's a process. But again, we have seen people. They left here because of a job. Well, okay, I'll have to move to so-and-so or I've got to do this. On and on it goes. This is areas that we're going to be tested in and people are and many have fallen prey to this. I mean, it's some of the dumbest stuff people have left doctrine for. Some of the, really? That? I'd like to stay the course to see what God has for me. And then if that includes some big deliverance from something which I've experienced, fine. But I don't want to be out there, get what I want, think my sin nature wants, get that, and not have God on my side. Have Him completely displeased with me 24/7, not just the usual things when I fail, but constantly. I don't want that. I want to see this through. Nobody's going to remember that you made, you know, six-digit income and had a big old house. We're not going to talk about that in phase three. That'd be kind of ridiculous. God is for the positive believer who endures, perseveres, gets his eyes off of things. Well, examples. Well, God's blessed them, and I've been here all these years, and I don't have that. That's not, you shouldn't be there. You don't go there. So you're blaming God. You're saying it's His fault. You've been so faithful to the doctrine, you ought to have all of this, and another person has it. So that becomes a stumbling block. So there's everything in here. Desire for other things enter in. Things that are incompatible with MPR, most pressing responsibility, face-to-face teaching. I have people here, they haven't left over the flat earth. You know what they've left over? They're all caught up in their career. Young people. It's called youthful lust. And I don't mean just drinking and hell-raising like that. I mean, we got to get ahead. We got to get out here and get this. And it's cutting into their spiritual life, and that becomes more important, and certainly a certain amount of funsville and just general spiritual laziness. But they weren't that connected to begin with. I'm smart enough to know that. So, you know, they're doing their thing, and every time today I hear someone making these long-range plans, there's no long-range anymore. It's over. The game's about over. Really, it's about over. If you were smart, and you didn't even agree with me on that doctrine I just taught, that got everyone so wrapped around the axle, even that, you'd stay the course. Instead of going off and following some other person that isn't even your shepherd, and pull that stimulant. Or listen to somebody from, you know, Whereversville. Oh, I've adopted. There's my teacher now. Oh, that's wonderful. And are they teaching what you've learned all these years apart from that? Hell no. Parts of it, sure, everybody. Probably in a funny church you can find parts of it. But that isn't good enough. They're going to share with you the doctrine of the United States and prophecy? A real militaristic church that has a, you know, make celebrities out of soldiers? They going to teach you that? They're going to teach you and orient you to the time in which you live in human history? Not unless they start teaching something different I've never heard of. And they're going to drop the ball on a whole bunch of stuff. And you want to throw that, and they want to throw that overboard for that? It's a rebellion, and they're out of line, and they get what they deserve. What's a person do when he hears this junk coming out of their mouth? Just, oh, then that's okay. We'll bear up with that. We'll endure that. And then somebody go out and, you know, and do what they do. Let them do what they do. Don't be a part of it. For friendship or any other reason. Honor the divine principle of the shepherd that enters through the door to get his sheep and they hear his voice. Not the clown that climbs over the wall, grabs some willing woolies and drags them over the deal and builds him a deal. God isn't in it. See, now our feet are put to the fire. We're tested with this. We see it in live action. Don't go there. Encourage your friends, loved ones, anyone you still have contact with. Get away from that. Be consistent with your history. What was your history? You came to Maranatha Church under a variety of circumstances. You gave your testimony, not up here, but you gave your testimony how God did X, Y, Z to get you where you needed to be. And you want to throw that overboard? Yeah, but. No, yeah, buts. Your faith is supposed to be in God and His Word. And He will protect your positive volition. You stay in your deal. It's like a marriage. We're having problems in our marriage. My husband drinks too much. Or this, or this, or this, or this. Whatever it is. What am I supposed to do? Cut and run? No. You're supposed to pray a lot. Hang in there. He's lukewarm, or he's this, or she's that. All the rest of it. Just file for divorce? No. God will take care of you. This isn't a perfect Pollyanna world where everything just comes together and we have a nice wedding and everything's going to take care of itself and two STAs are brought together in time and everything's going to be wonderful. It might be, it might be if they really work at it and do what they're supposed to do. So I'm seeing all this craziness unfold. It's like surreal. And some of you who agree with me on things, you got your problems too, just because you're here. You're pursuing some negative person out there and a love interest. And you got emotionally wrapped up with them. Okay, it happens. And you need to realize, the basic fundamental. Somebody shows an interest, meet somebody, stranger, all the rest. Before we go any further with this, I'd like to take you to my church. And then I want you to tell me what you think of it. And I want you to try to be honest, because if you're not honest, I'll figure it out. Because I've got the Holy Spirit and I got prayer. And I'll figure out if you're interested in this genuinely or not. But that doesn't mean we're going to run off and get married that minute. It's going to take a little more, because I don't want to saddle myself and tie myself to misery. 3 months, 6 months, a year down the road. I want the woman in Proverbs, that kind of a wife. And according to Solomon, they're really scarce. And that was in his day. A good woman is hard to find. Now, you could say, well, a good man is too. Okay, fine. But I'm dealing with it from the perspective of what I'm dealing with here. That's true too. The comfortable thing is to just wait on the Lord and to pray, and He knows your heart. And if you're married 3 months before the rapture and you find your right person, then this will be it. Or if you go all the way, well, I don't want to be lonely. Come on. You'll be miserable. You'll wish you were lonely. Loneliness will be an escape for the kind of stuff you can step into. And I know some people, there have been people, well, so-and-so came and no time that person found a positive person in Maranatha and was married, and it's wonderful. All things work out different. There's no time and grade, therefore it's your turn. No. It's not rigid like that. But look at God's done for you since you started coming on Doc. Go back and trace it forward. This isn't the time to throw it over. When someone tries to talk you out of your crown out there because you know them and you're familiar with them, that's the one especially you have to be careful with. Cosmos is going to try to talk you out of your crown, probably, but they will. Let no man take your crown. And back to what I've said 100 million times. God will protect your positive volition here at Maranatha Church. You keep doing what you've been doing since the day you came here. You don't look around and see empty seats and go, oh. That isn't a criteria. We still have a bigger church than the other two out there put together. You remember him up here talking about that? Well, I got these like two rows. Can you imagine coming to church every day in a city the size of New York? Millions of people. And a lot of Christians. Because they're all kind of out there in Long Island, elsewhere. There's all these fundy churches. They're all over the place. Big Holy Roller churches, Baptist churches. There's stuff all over. But they don't want sound doctrine. Some of the ones, people you know who are Christians, they talk the Bible, maybe know a lot about it, but they do not want sound doctrine. And they do not want to make any sacrifices to get under a good pastor. But they talk it. They're fakes. You're unwilling to make the sacrifice. People, most people today in America, if they said, oh, we got a really good job for you, and you can do it, and you're going to make tens of thousands of dollars a month, and we're going to build you, we got you a house, and we're going to take care of benefits, everything. Okay, you got to live in kind of a crummy area of the country. It's not one of those, yeah. You say, I'll take it. People, where's the moving van? Let's get out of here. They would go in a minute for money. That's their glory. That's what they get. And yet, there are people, what would you not do in order to maintain your spiritual life? How far down would you go in order to be in the will of God? That's what I ask you. How far would you humble yourself for the truth? So, like I said, New York, all these people. When that church was first founded, well, back when Tom Balding was first there, they had like 40, 45 people. They had a good, healthy, big crowd of people. I was up there. Well, it's dwindled over the years. Okay, some people have died. They were old. They're face to face. Other people just left. And their fault, and the pastor's fault, he's teaching doctrine. And the current one is teaching doctrine. Anyone who will come in there and sit down and pay attention can get their crown. What else do you want? And there isn't that big a numbers up in Cleveland either. There's not growing by leaps and bounds, people coming in right and left. Because this is the scarcity of genuine positive volition in the last days. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It's scarce. That's just the way it is. They don't want to hear this. So that's where we're at. So trying to avoid this, and all of us have had moments where got distracted, caught up in things. And, oh, I can do this and start investing and making some extra money. And I'm not putting down anybody. You've got to sort this out for yourself. But these things quickly can become weeds. The desires for other things. I want a closer relationship with my negative family. What? My voice went up. What? I love my parents. You know, my mom was a hoot. But it was real thin. You go out there after a few days, there's no, oh, what do you think of this old crazy stuff in Washington or something? Well, what can you give them doctrine? Oh, wasn't that storm terrible? Where's the divine viewpoint in that? It's just an observation anybody can make. But no divine viewpoint. You can't give them any comfort from Scripture. You can pat them on the back and hug them all day. But you can't give them any comfort from Scripture. They don't have any of that in their soul. All they can talk about is the way the cosmos talks about things. Good, bad, nothing about God and the truth and living the Christian life. No excitement about, well, how's your church doing? They might say, is it growing? No, it's shrinking. Vertically, some people are growing. They don't understand any of that. None of it. And you want to have a closer relationship with that? It's not me. Pray that God will bless you with the right relationship with members of the royal family whom you can be encouraged and helped by and vice versa. Pray about that. That's not too hard to ask. I'm closer to certain people than I ever was to my natural family. We have a rapport. We have a common language. We have a common destiny. We get together, have a meal, a drink, and there's this environment of the truth. We have a get-together. Occasionally, the church, a larger get-together, where genuinely people are all together on this, and we rejoice in the truth. We can laugh about this and talk about that and where all the rest, that stuff. But we have a common bond. We have a common battle we're fighting. And it has nothing to do with personal likes and dislikes in terms of what we do. It's fellowship and the truth. It's what it's supposed to be. We can have any other kind of fellowship. That's easy. You know, just have something common with someone. Talk golf all day. Not putting golf down. I'm just talking things. You know? So that was three. Those who flunked the test of living grace. Your living grace, as you all well know, will be tested from time to time. Maybe it's been a long time since you've really been tested in the area of living grace. You've got a nice bank account. Okay. All right. But living grace is tested. See doctrine of living grace. Living grace, you say, well, I'm being tested every day with living grace. That could be. Could very well be. What am I going to eat? How am I going to pay these bills? What's going to take care of this? Blah, blah, blah. I just get up in the morning and say, God, I'm in your hands. I want to do your will today and not get wrapped around the axle about stuff and worry about how I'm going to do this and do that. You've taken care of me all my life. Why wouldn't you take care of me today? So the worries of the world, the things the cosmos worries about and throws them in a tizzy, and they're running here and they're running there. There's STA lust. I think I've touched on those pretty good. I don't want to be alone and I just want to get married. The pursuit of the details above face-to-face teaching could be an activity, you know. And then we come to the good crowd, the positive crowd. Now, obviously the group I'm talking to here, you're not going to fall in the first category, you're a believer. You've believed in Jesus Christ. Easiest thing in the world to get the biggest blessing from. Go figure. Now, we have the other categories. The other category is the harvest of eternal reward. The ones who bear fruit. I've noticed something about really positive believers in Maranatha Church. They're the ones who make, and I'm not talking about giving money, that too, but I'm talking about they make a contribution. They step up and apply. And some of these other people, you notice, they haven't done nothing. They didn't do anything but show up. They might host a party, maybe. They don't do much. There's no production that you can see. And I realize some applications are behind the scenes, where people come to the aid of people and do things for people. And those are the ones in whom the seed was sown on the good soil. That is a soil that is well aerated, will take in the seed, doesn't have any rocks or weeds in it, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. They don't just hear the word. You know, there are people who genuinely probably have heard the word. They got here, they got in fellowship, they actually heard the doctrine. But they don't necessarily accept it. They don't embrace it with all their heart, mind, and soul. This is a true doctrine, and I'm going to stick with this one to the end. This is right on. Name a doctrine. Pick your own. They hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. See, there's three steps here. Hearer of the word. You got here, you heard it. Some people won't even hear it. They get it once, they come across it, and boom, it's like, we're out of it, we're gone. They hear it, they accept it. For what it is, they see it, they have understanding about it, and they bear fruit, divine good production. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, whether you're a 30 or a 60 or 100 fold, we'll have to wait and see. That's yield per acre, by the way, in the farming agricultural lingo. So these are the ones who produce a lot of divine good. And it's always a joy to see this in people as a pastor teacher. Because, you know, we've been on this property since 1978. And it wasn't nearly as attractive. It was nearly as attractive as it is now. We had an old fence out here, barbed wire, and some horses across the way, gravel. and that mansion I lived in right over there. You know? But I was glad to have it. I was happy to have it. I was delighted to have it. God gave it to us. We got a deal on it. The time we purchased it, it would have been gone. This property would have been gone after this in no time. They'd have leveled everything and put another house up, or two or three. But we got it. And all the divine good production over the years, we didn't have, you know, an unlimited bank account where we could have everything, just all this woodwork in here. All this stuff was divine good production. Volunteer help, for the most part, for a large part, by positive volition through the years. That's what they did. This is a product of teaching. And I'm just dealing with the physical. There's so many other aspects. How many people in this church have benefited over the years with financial help, Living Grace? Formally through the church, of course, individuals might apply towards people, and that happens. And that's good when it's done right. We set that whole thing up. This is a product of teaching doctrine. I couldn't make people do that. My father said to me, visiting out here one day, "How do you get them to give money?" Because he saw the progress. He saw that it was coming along, and it wasn't some seedy little operation. Do you make them all give 10% of their income? I mean, he didn't know anything else. No, it's free will giving. I don't twist arms. I don't do stuff. I never have, never will. There's no pressure put on anyway. If you want to be stingy and not put a red cent in there and go on one shopping spree after another and one nice vacation after another and not contribute any money, that's on your head. You got the doctrine. I taught you the doctrine of giving, grace giving, church age giving, and it is a responsibility of believers to consider that as a part of their quote unquote budget. And let every man give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. You say, "God loves me." Okay, you're a cheerful giver? You go, "Put that check in. I could have bought whatever." See, it's the old becoming a master of the details of life. And overcoming your sin nature and your trends with regard to money. Some people are real generous with their time. I mean, they give you your time, their time. You know, that's good. But money, that's something else. It's another deal. Are you going to hold on to it to the rapture? You going to leave it for the cosmos? I'm not telling you to do anything crazy. I'm just telling you to pray about it. You know, turn it, wherever you can, turn it into SG3. And going on a cruise is not SG3. You want to go on a cruise with us? Anytime soon? Come on, chicken. It's high adventure on the high seas. You know, I'm sorry to see some of you aren't happy. I really am. Then you're not rejoicing in the Lord and in the truth. I know you once did. Time to come back to that circle. Because it's hard on your health and it doesn't make you look good. You're all about looking good? You don't look good on here. I can't even mimic that. And I love you and I care about you and I want you to snap out of it. Well, okay, you have to admit you made some mistakes. Well, God forbid. We do every day, practically. Okay, the parable in verses 21 through 25 concerning the lamp is dealing with the occupational hazards of the pastor. Can we just skip over that? Well, we'll consider it after our break.